The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. And on Manx Radio, the floor is yours. We're an open line through till 1 today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever it is you want to get off your chest, by all means, do get in touch. And we'll tell the rest of the world about it. There was a question yesterday, I think it was David yesterday, wanted to know where the MV Arrow is. Well, she was sent on rental, if you like, on charter to the Channel Islands. So we're assuming that the MV Arrow, the kind of backup steam packet vessel, is still in the Channel Islands. If you've got ship spotter or whatever it's called, ship locator, I'm sure you'll tell me. The MV Arrow was sailing, I think, between Portsmouth and the Channel Islands on charter. That's why the Ben McCree was doing all the freight runs during TT. Let's get to the phones. Jill's with us now. Hi, Jill. I think we'll find Jill. Perhaps not Jill. No, Jill's not there. We'll try and find Jill in a few moments' time. Jill, if you want to give us a call back, there may be something wrong with your phone. Perhaps, we don't know. Or was it blighted line two? This story about Claire Barber, MHK, the minister at DEFA, who's admitted decisions on planning appeals could be subject to legal challenge following this administrative error. Well, she was asked about the decision to delegate her ministerial responsibility to a political member at this morning's sitting of the House of Keys. The paperwork referenced a section of the Town and Country Planning Act. The only problem being the Town and Country Planning Act doesn't exist. While Claire Barber accepts that errors were made, she insists the delegated power itself was used correctly. Glenn Faber and Peel MHK, Kate Law Brennan, was concerned.
The legal advice that I've received specifically relates to this point, relating to the incorrect delegation and the vires, as I say, that there is the option of a dolience procedure to review that.
Thank you. I'll get to the matters of dolience procedures later. In the delegations that have been drafted, many of which were related to planning application, planning appeals in Peel related to telegraph poles, they state that Article 8.8, which doesn't exist, of the Town and Country Planning Development Order Procedure Order 2019, they give the powers to exercise the functions of the department relating to appeals to the department, to consider the report of the planning inspector and either allow or dismiss the appeal, and may in either case reverse or vary any part of the decision whether or not the appeal relates to that part. So my question is, how can the minister honestly consider these decisions valid? How can she, or how long will she stand by these recently made decisions? Because it's actually either the case that the decisions weren't made, or they were made, and they weren't based on valid law. Or would she rather perhaps run the risk of many other sets of decisions where delegated being in fact unlawful?
Minister to reply.
Thank you. As I say, I am operating based on the advice that I am receiving in this regard, and we are reviewing this situation as would be expected. The powers that have been delegated were those as laid down in 13.1, but obviously, as I say, it incorrectly references Section 8.8. I can't change the past, and I am obviously, it's hugely regrettable, this position, but it is something that we're working through. As I understand, I do not have the power to change the planning decision that has been made, except via a dolience procedure.
Well, that was Claire Barber, MHK, the minister at DEFA, and we'll be watching that situation just to see what happens. But obviously, the wheels will be turning. I think we've found Jill now. Hi, Jill.
Oh, hello, Andy. Funny that Claire Barber should be talking, because I'm talking about play areas in Douglas. I've been talking to you about it on and off for the past 4 years. The last time I took Ivy to the play area was when she was 1.5. She's now 6. And Claire Barber was then responsible for play areas, and she said she cannot wave a magic wand regarding the issue. And now she can't change the past. Well, the past is still the past regarding play areas, because there's no magic wand being waved. Now, Andy, I don't like going on the radio. I've got my posh voice, but you can hear I'm a little bit nervous. But I've befriended quite a few young mothers. A lot of people are coming to the island. I've befriended Ghanaians. I try to teach them English. And a lot go Bulgarian mums and Romanian mums with 2 children, maybe more. They've been invited on this island to come and work, which they are doing, and some don't have cars, and they're practicing a lot of the language. And I find that a little park area in Douglas would, it just helps. And I'd like to also know, are the MHKs, do they have children? Are they all older? Because they don't seem to realise the necessity. These people get told, you can get a boat next if you don't want to stay here, which is very cruel. Or they say, well, there's Nobles Park, get a bus up there. Have you tried as a young mum, a tired young mum, to take a little 1-year-old and a 3-year-old on the bus, and they don't know where they're going anyway, because they don't know Douglas so well.
Right, is this the the one on the prom that we're talking about, Jill?
There were only a couple of swings and a slide.
Yeah.
Actually, I went to view the architect plans. I bumped into R. Howard, who rings in frequently. We had a little chat. So they promised us a massive big boat, which we didn't really need, a skate park. I talked to the architect. We were even asked to sign whether we wanted it or not, planning permissions. So when you promise something and you get nothing in return, it's a bit cruel, isn't it? We took our time to go and view all these promises, and
The thing, Jill, as you say, your granddaughter was 1.5. She's now, what did you say, 6?
6.
Well,
yes.
It's faintly pathetic, isn't it? The fact that
in
that time, even a temporary play park or just something there.
Anything.
And obviously,
anything.
Process has taken over here, as you say, with these kind of vainglorious
big
plans about a pirate galleon or whatever it was going to be. And the fact is, as
we
you say.
We didn't need all that.
All you need are swings and a slide and one of those stretchy.
Why not in a corner of Villa Marina Gardens? Why not in Summerland, where they've pathetically left that empty in disrespect to the people who died? Why not have a lovely play area? My son, he owns an apartment in Piccadilly Court. He doesn't want to take his car to Nobles Park when Ivy wants a run. She doesn't want to go on the beach. Wonderful Riley's Garden Centre. A shout out for Riley's Garden Centre in Douglas. We go there, do retail therapy, and one of us sits with Ivy while she plays with the children in the little beautiful garden swings and slides they've built.
That's out the back by the cafe, isn't it, Jill?
Yes, and you know, if the MHKs had the sense they were born with, they would know that the children will be left in the playing area and the people would buy more in town because they could then do retail therapy. Children do not like shopping. They hate it. So please, please, let's have something for the children. These mothers, I befriended them, like I said. I try and have them in my humble abode. We go in each other's houses now, but we want fresh air. We want to teach people English. That wonderful church opposite where the play area used to be, they teach them the language. For goodness sakes, people. I can't believe that they're not doing anything now.
I'm trying to remember, Jill, the only other play area, I think, is the one, isn't it up by on Kensington Road? Westmoreland Road.
Yeah, but
it's up there, isn't it?
Should
miles
I tell
away.
The Ghanaians and the Bulgarians and the Romanians? And I don't drive a car, so I'm hopeless. I don't know. My husband always laughs at me because I don't even know where Ramsey is. But they need a place where they can, they don't have houses with gardens in Douglas City. We're a city. We want it on the seafront where the kiddies, the mums can sit there and talk. It's so important for mental health. And I've now been talking to you about it, Andy, if you remember, for 4 years, waiting very, very patiently. If someone says they're going to build you a house, and you go to planning and you look at all the architecture and waste your time, and then you get told we're getting nothing, you're being a bit shortchanged there, aren't you? It's cruel.
Right, OK. All right. Well, we appreciate it. And thanks for keeping
out
this,
Andy.
Jill. I'm glad you're keeping the whole thing alive.
I will do.
Good.
Thank you, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. We're not very child-friendly in Douglas, so that's the word there. And the fact that that playground was promised years and years ago, there was a big plan for something, then now that's not happening. I mean, how much does a playground cost? I'm sure somebody will come forward and say it takes planning and this, that and the other, and it's going to cost tens of thousands of pounds. If you divide that by 5-6 years, it's not really that much, is it? And the fact is, on the promenade, that's a place where people do take children, and certainly toddlers go there. And as Jill said, I've yet to meet a toddler who likes shopping. As Jill said, they hate it. So what do we do, and where are the best places for playgrounds in Douglas? Obviously, I haven't said that. The one at Nobles Park has seen better times. A lot of the metal is now rusting up there, but it's passable. It works. As they say, it's fit for purpose. But really, a playground where mums and toddlers can go and, as Jill said, can shoot the breeze, can chat about things, and can meet new people. Well, any thoughts on that, by all means, do get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And lots of messages coming through, which I shall get to, including the lady speaking about the play areas just mentioned various nationalities with young children. Says G. So this is the weakness, says G. A weakness. The government is bringing foreign workers here. They bring dependents, and then they place a demand on services, even play areas. The government brings foreign workers in. I thought it was employers who brought foreign workers in. G, I think you're going to have to be a lot more specific about that. I don't quite know the point you're trying to make. Is it not irresponsible to leave small children unsupervised while you enjoy retail therapy? Don't blame the MHKs. It's Douglas Council to go on with this. I don't think the lady ever said leave them unsupervised. They weren't left on their own. I'm sure there'd be two people and then one would go shopping and the other one. But anyway, read into that what you will. And people in Castletown are still waiting for the toddler play park to be sorted too. It's been closed for a long time now. Paulson Park is a nightmare to get into with prams. The area by the railway bridge is really bad as it gets washed out every time there's a big tide. It's time the toddler park was sorted in Castletown. How are things in Peel and Ramsey and in Kirkmichael? And in Crosby and Glenvine, how are things in Castletown and in Port Erin for play areas for younger people? John tells me apparently the Arrow is on charter to Balfour Beatty doing work in the Hebrides. She gets everywhere. Apparently, Steam Packet's getting very well paid for it as well. The charter fees are quite a bit. Yesterday there was some discussion about assistance for those thrust into being a carer. Part of the problem for carers is the lack of information about what help and support is available. There should be somewhere that everybody can look online or pick up a pack relevant to their situation. Although dementia is rife on the Isle of Man, well, it's rife everywhere, to be quite honest, H, it's kept very low-key and carers are left to struggle with the difficult behaviours and the 24/7 care. Professional carers receive extensive training. This is an issue, and I've pursued for many years, but nobody seems to care, says H. And that was the point the lady was making yesterday, H. And thanks for reinforcing it. It's an unseen army of carers. An unseen army of carers that are looking at, with very little training, it would seem. It's kind of picking up as you go along. So, any thoughts? By all means, do get in touch. Here's Andrew with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andy. Good day to you. I just please wanted to touch on the story in Tynwald Keys this morning.
Yeah.
About the telegraph poles in Peel.
Okay.
Whereby Minister Barber has admitted that there was some delegated responsibility, and the poles have been allowed, but the delegated responsibility wasn't in fact valid. And she's referenced that it, quote, the delegated power quoted some particular aspect of the Town and Country Planning Act. And on your news page article, it says it references a section that does not exist. And now it's been allowed for the telegraph poles, and under this delegated powers, presumably other decisions have been made by the department, which may now not be in good standing and correct. And the only remedy for this, apparently, is that people go to the cost and expense of potentially bringing a petition of doliance, which is totally wrong. But the aspect I wanted to touch on was that where's the accountability, please? Claire Barber, you've had somebody who's had allegedly this delegated power effectively misusing it. And so where's the accountability? If you were in business, that person would be shown the door. Alan Sugar would be saying, you're fired.
So what do you think should happen,
so where's
Andrew?
The Sorry?
What do you think should happen?
The person responsible should be at very least demoted to the lowest standard in the civil service. Because it's just wrong. This person should be removed from post because they're obviously not competent, because they've been quoting something that doesn't exist.
Well, it's a bit of a pickle, to say the least, isn't it? So you reckon, I mean, they say that a petition of doliance is the only way. I mean, does that cost a lot of money, a petition of doliance?
I'm led to believe it does. Well, you've got to go and hire advocates and everything. Why should you have to do that? Because the department has done something that didn't have the vires, the legal power to do.
Well, we're getting a lot of messages to this same thing. A gentleman called Michael said, to this day, DEFRA have been dragging its heel over many things and aren't fit for purpose.
Well, somebody in there isn't fit for purpose because they're acting without proper law behind them. So they're not competent. So remove them from post. Otherwise, I just wanted to touch on, you were talking about play areas.
Yeah.
And the Douglas City Council and the promenade play area, which it's saying, oh, we can't do this now because there's not going to be a seawall. Well, Douglas Council, you removed a play area, which the only reason you removed it was because the rubberized matting had been lifted by the storm surge.
Yeah.
The wall along the gardens there was replaced. It's concrete now, I understand, with just a stone facing. It's not just stone, it's concrete. So that area is now protected. So just please, and the play area, the play equipment, you removed it before its end of life. So please, just reinstate the play equipment, buy like for like, and just put it back. You don't have to spend $3 million on doing a wooden galleon further along. Just put the play equipment back on a like-for-like basis. And small children aren't going to know the difference because they will never have experienced it before.
Well, we'll see what happens, but something somewhere. I mean, the fact there hasn't been a play area on the promenade. You see, obviously, Andrew, somebody thinks it doesn't matter. Somebody somewhere puts this to the bottom of the pile every time.
Somebody in the council. I don't know who has responsibility for that, but it's somebody in the council. And Douglas ratepayers, we were paying here, pay our rates, and there's not that facility. We already paid for it once. They took it away. So use our money, please, Douglas City Council, and reinstate it.
Right. I've just done some checking, by the way, Andrew. A typical overall cost for a petition of Dolian, straightforward petition, is between £8,000 and £15,000. If it's moderately complex, up to £30,000. If it's very heavily contested, could be £75,000.
And why should individuals have to fork that money out to have the department correct something which it did in error by somebody who's not competent? Leave it at that, I think.
Thanks for calling today.
Oh, sorry, one other item.
Yeah, by all means.
One other item. DOI Minister Tim Crookall, please, the footpath and curb between the Coolyree entrance east and west, when are you going to get it done before Tynwald Day? Please, Tim, let us know.
All right, thanks for calling. And Texter 113 says, we've got a lovely play area in Crosby. Well, congratulations, Crosby. And Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I was just reading up the other day, I was reading about how the ministers, so much in the other man, it's always said that the ministers are just there as the mouthpieces and the civil servants tell them what's what, and then the ministers go and report to Tynwald. And it said that Tim Crookall, who's currently the Minister for Infrastructure since he took over from Michelle Hayward, he has been told by the civil service, effectively by his Department of Infrastructure, that they are not building the seawall on Long Promenade in order to stop the waves coming over in the wintertime and to stop the wave attack from destroying the wall and the sunken gardens adjacent to it. So Douglas Corporation are therefore saying they can't build this park. But why are the civil servants in charge? You know, the ministers are there to direct, to make sure that the will of Tynwald, you know, Tynwald is the government. The government's job is to govern. The ministers should be telling the civil servants what they want doing, you know, and there can be a constructive dialogue between the two, but the minister should be the superior person. They should not, the civil servants, you know, the heads of infrastructure or whoever it is, they should not be the senior person in the relationship, because they are not democratically elected.
But presumably, so at some point, Adam, it will come. There'll come a time if a chief executive or senior executive in a department, in a ministry, has been there for, let's say 10, 15 years, and a minister comes in, having only been elected, a year previously and what have you, and comes in and, quite frankly, doesn't know the lay of the land. So they may have some highfalutin idea about something, and that may have to be talked down by somebody who knows the job and the patch.
Yes, I suppose that's very true, Andy, but I mean, they need to get suitable people in suitable roles. I mean, Tim Crookall, he's well known, isn't he? He's quite an intelligent person, Tim Crookall. He's well known to be well educated, and you would have thought he could have, you know, some sort of bearing. I don't know. You never know what power structures exist in these things and what other subordinate power structures exist, which may affect the relationships between people in the line of control.
Yeah.
But I think he should be. I hear what you're saying, Andy. There needs to be continuity between the ministers and long-term ministers in positions. But I mean, you know, it's their job to hold the civil service to account, to question them, you know, and to come up with ideas, lateral thinking, come up with ideas outside the box to address these things. And if there's a problem, you know, if they've negotiated with the civil service about something and the civil service have said, no, we really can't do it for whatever reasons, then they need to come back to Tynwald and say that. And there needs to be an open discussion about alternatives.
Right.
You know, I don't know whether this kind of system operates within the democratic political system that we have.
Yeah, well, you make a very good point, Adam, because, as you say, you and I, we're humble members of the public. We don't know the dynamics in the departments. We don't know who gets on with whom. We don't know where, you know, where they're shifting budgets around. We don't know. We just know that certain things aren't right. And one of the things that isn't right is the lack of a play area on the most busy promenade on the Isle of Man, Loch Promenade.
Yes, and it is a great shame because, as you say, there isn't one near. And the other thing, Andy, you were saying it's nice to have some swings and things. I mean, I like the idea of a galleon because, you know, it's fun for kids to play and imagine. It gives the kids a basis on which to base their imaginative escapades in terms of imagining that they're pirates at sea and things. Yeah. But I bet that they can do that anyway on ordinary play equipment. But, I mean, it's nice to have imaginative and, you know, thoughtful, up-to-date layouts for playgrounds and things. But one thing I do think is sad, and I went into Peel's swimming pool last night for a swim, and I looked at the park. There were some kids playing in the park just next door. I looked into the park, and there's no swings in there. There's only two little swings for infants. You know, in all the parks now, you see, they've only got the two little swings for infants. And I just think it's so sad because when I was a little boy, I used to love the swings. The only thing I used to, I mean, most of the time I would go on the swings. I quite liked an assault course, you know, or at Timbald Mills, there's quite a decent assault course, or there used to be outside the cafe there. Yeah. And we would all go and have thunder and lightning ice creams from the cafe, which is sadly no longer done either, and go on the assault course. But there was always swings. Everywhere you went, there were swings. And they've been taken away.
Well, I'll tell you, if I may, I think I know the reason for that. The fact that there aren't any, if you like, larger children's size swings, it's mainly down to the antics of idiotic adults. So out of hours, you may get idiotic adults playing around on larger swings and larger play areas. And that's one of the, I mean, like that pirate galleon there. Now, that pirate galleon there would have been opposite some licensed premises. So what's going to happen at 1 o'clock in the morning, one Saturday or Sunday morning, when you get a few people who've had too many and they see something that looks like a pirate ship to have a play on? Who knows?
Well, that's true. But, I mean, on the other hand, a pirate ship may not play, may not be quite so appealing to adults as perhaps swings would be, because, I mean, adults can appreciate swings too, provided they have the stomach muscles and, body flexibility to be able to still do it. But obviously the horse trams used to be outside the Terminus Tavern, and they used to get played on all the time by kids and by adults alike. Yeah. So they don't line them up outside anymore. I know they always put them to bed at nights in the sheds. But, I mean, it's... obviously, what you're saying is correct, but I just think it's such a shame for the kids not to have the swings these newfangled ideas. And that kids want mounds, you know, and you know, traditional play equipment. And some of it may be somewhat dangerous. Obviously, they took away witches' hats years ago, and you don't have any of that anymore. But the swings would be nice. I think swing boats would be lovely in Douglas somewhere. I advocate them for the Summerland site, along with a Helter Skelter and some trampolines and a bouncy castle or something.
Okay.
You know, but it's,
I appreciate it. Adam, thanks for calling today. We appreciate your thoughts.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers. Take care.
It's 26 minutes before one. Oh, Vivian's on with us now. Hi, Vivian.
Hello. I just want to give Ramsey Commissioners a pat on the back, and I don't often do that.
Okay.
They've got a couple of wonderful play parks for the kids of all ages. And they're well looked after, and one is the Newark Park, and the other is on Ney Hill here, the Coronation Park, and they are wonderful.
Well, I'm happy to put that on the record. And as you say, the Murrock is, well, it is absolutely fantastic. And there's also stuff there for adults as well as you go round as well, isn't there?
There's all sorts, but just. We're good to criticise, but it's nice sometimes just to give a pat on the back.
More than happy to do that for Ramsey. Okay, thanks, Vivian. Good
Thank
to hear from
much.
You. All right.
Bye.
Let's go to, I think Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I haven't heard the programme for a little while, trying to catch up. And I was going to come on and ask about the money that was proposed for the building of the play area on the promenade. It didn't just have the one on the Lock Promenade. There was a farcical item up at the Queen's Promenade, a little stream and everything. But what I don't know if you had it on your programme, but they made application, the council, to borrow $1.6 million. Did that go through? Has that $1.6 million been awarded to the council? And if it has, what do they propose to do with it? And what was the terms of payback?
Well, also, we'll find out fairly shortly, because Devon Watson's going to be on in a couple of weeks' time. I've not heard, I didn't hear the whether or not, I think they did, they, as you say, they certainly appealed for the money, they wanted the money. I don't know whether they got it or not, but, well, that's certainly one to put to Devon Watson. And the fact is that, you know, the whole point of play areas, they are essential for, I mean, there is, kids need to play, for heaven's sake, Howard.
Yeah, well, our great-grandson, I used to take him down to the old one there. Not, well, when they'd done the boating pool, you can still see how that was built. But we used to take him down there when he was very young and loved it. And it was safe. You could park up and take him in there and he wouldn't be running out in the road or anything like that. But the council, I don't know what they had in mind when they were planning this, because they're going to put skateboard and racks and everything in there. But if that money has been allocated and it's in the account of the town of the council, what is the interest rate? Who is going to pay it back? The ratepayers, obviously. And, you know, who has cancelled this? Because these seem to be all sorts of secret things that go on behind closed doors. You'll hear the result, but you'll never hear the conversation beforehand. And also, well, I've mentioned this before, when I started work a long time ago, I was with Douglas Corporation, strange enough, on the Parks Department as an apprentice. And I can remember in 1966, it is a long time ago, those walls being knocked down. And the gardens themselves were built with a void behind the land side of the wall so as to give shelter to people sitting in the gardens. Now, the tide has not stopped coming in. It's still as rough as ever. If you look at back photographs, you'll see some horrendous storms. And I've suggested this a few times, that that wall can be made stronger by a central core of reinforced concrete and then the stonework put on the outside, both sides, and that would stop an awful lot of this damage. Because there were talk, and I think the last thing I heard was about $9 million to put the rest of the seawall in up to the sea terminal. You could build 9 miles of motorway for that. But you know, this is the silly ideas they're coming up with, and then they're shouting that they've got no money.
Well, it will be, the thing is, you would think that a play area for children would be really, really simple to do, Howard. It's not nuclear engineering. It's a play area. And they managed to get them here, there and everywhere. So it just seems as though somebody somewhere on the council thinks that no children go on the promenade, that no children walk from end to end on the promenade. Heavens above, it's difficult enough to get a cup of tea on the promenade now. So
yeah,
so
but you know, the likes of the promenade there with the children, it's ideal because they've got to have play areas. And a couple of years ago, we had our great granddaughter over, and we went to 14 play parks all around the island. And that was only just, you know, touching the top. We didn't get to them all. So we're not short of them, but we are short of that one on the promenade, and it was an excellent one. And again, they went all over the top. They had these amazing things they're going to do. We had to go to Germany to get the company to do it. So who's actually paid that and all the planning? You know, they had to get the timber. They were saying it's special timber. It's tantalised timber, for God's sake. And, you know, a price of going to Germany and having a German company come over. And I don't know if you went down to the presentation in the Strand Shopping Centre. Oh, what a load of, well... I won't say the word on radio.
I think you're trying to say baloney.
It starts with that letter B, yeah.
Okay.
But I was down there a couple of times, and I've never heard so much waffle. And they were spending money like it was going out of fashion. And now the whole thing's collapsed into a hole in the ground.
Okay.
And nobody's given a reason why or what has happened to the funds.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Haven't heard anything all this week.
We'll try and find out then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Andy. Take care now.
All right. Thanks, Howard. Good to hear from you. It's 20 to 1. For the record, Douglas Council provides and operates 13 play parks, play areas around Douglas, Anaka. In Belafton Park in Harcroft Meadows. There's one in Cool Road, just by the Close Fletcher area. Lakeside Road, Governor's Hill, the Hampton Farm area. Nobles Park, obviously, the big one there. Nobles Plot, there's the tot lot there. Pullrose Play Park, Centenary Gardens by Queen's Avenue. There's the Johnny Watterson's Lane one, the William Proctor Court play area. Westmoreland Road, the one just by what used to be the Family Library, and the Barool Road play area in Williston. Just not on Loch Promenade for years. It hasn't been there for years. And I'm presuming that children, toddlers, don't want a Rolls-Royce solution. They don't want the state-of-the-art NASA standard stuff. They just want somewhere to play.
A new era of private healthcare on the island is just beginning with Clinic Savoie. Clinic Savoie is the island's first truly integrated private healthcare service. So from health checks to GPs, specialist consultations or connections to UK specialists, you'll experience care that's connected, considered and personal from state-of-the-art clinics in Douglas and Ramsey. Take the next step in your guided health journey. Visit ClinicSavoie.com or call 682000. Thoughtful island healthcare, expertly delivered. Clinic Savoie.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you in creating beautiful lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail. We offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currax wildlife park.im.
Spring is in the air, so it's time to treat yourself to a powerful new Honda at Riley's Garden Centre. Yes, right now, Riley's have massive savings across Honda's lawn and garden range. Save up to £300 on robotic mowers, £345 on petrol lawnmowers and £785 on lawn tractors. T's and C's apply. Open 7 days a week on Cool Road, Braddon, or browse online at rileys.co.im. Riley's Garden Centre. Everything for the great outdoors.
This Thursday on Manx Radio, join me, David Kinley, on Island Life for a series of programmes entitled New World, Old Ways, where we discuss the history, culture, folklore, superstitions and music of the Manx emigrees to the New World, the United States of America, and in particular, the Appalachian Mountains. And I'll be talking to Mr. Roberts here about the Manx language. That's this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. here on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 16 minutes now before one. A note in from Sarah, who just said, did Brad Pitt buy any Archibald Knox when he was on the Isle of Man? I don't know. It's true, Brad Pitt's a big Archibald Knox fan. It's true, seriously, he is. And, well, I'm sure the Archibald Knox people, the Archibald Knox diaspora on the Isle of Man will tell us if Brad shelled out anything. So, Devon Watson's going to be on Tuesday the 30th. So, today being the 9th, he's on 3 weeks today, the leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson, will be on. So, we'll ask Mr. Watson, amongst other things, about play areas and certainly the play area on Loch Prom. But... never short of anything to say when Devon Watson's on. He's always makes himself available. The news about the Southern 100, yes, they're doing vintage sidecars, aren't they? Monday the 6th of July to Thursday the 9th of July. And thank you, Scott, who sent a message in saying, will Radio TT... Well, you don't call it Rich. I can't believe it's not Radio TT. Manx Radio Motorsport will be at the Southern 100 and the team will be there doing all the commentary as usual. New changes to the Isle of Man's immigration rules are aimed at safeguarding the island and its residents, according to the Treasury Minister. Chris Thomas, MHK, was in today, in Keys today. The changes are part of a Tymble-backed resolution from July last year to align the Isle of Man more broadly with the UK. More changes are expected to be announced around global migration and intercompany transfers in November 2027. This is what Chris Thomas, MHK, had to say today.
The jobs have to be notified locally for 14 days. Concurrently, they can be advertised across and in Ireland and in the Channel Islands for 14 days, and only then through a regulated process can you go around looking for immigration. There are other parts of law that are very relevant on to all of this. For instance, what rights people have and what obligations people have once they get here. So we are making changes to national insurance, and we are looking at how we finance students and third education and benefits and things all of the time.
How do these changes change how recruiters recruit?
And unfortunately, we've had bad eggs in the Isle of Man. There are examples in our court system of people having been abused by bad recruiters, coming to jobs, having paid lots of money for jobs that don't exist. So we've had a system that's been exploited. We've also been probably overly enthusiastic, encouraging people to come to the Isle of Man with insufficient attention paid to how we go about that. But we now have responsibilities to the people who are here as well. And finally, I would say we've got to make sure it works.
Would this changes still make the island appealing to businesses?
No, it does affect areas of ICT, it does affect healthcare, it does affect hospitality, and that's why we gave this 3-week lead-in time. There are more changes coming in November next year to do with global migration and intra-company transfers.
Well, that's Chris Thomas, the Treasury Minister, talking about that, and obviously something has been said somewhere, this thing about global migration and intercompany transfers. That's going to be in November next year, and I just wonder whether you've got any thoughts on this? Why did we remove our wooden benches and replace them with the daft seats? I wonder how that much. Well, actually, the new benches on Douglas Promenade are certainly better than those old concrete Bauhaus things that they had. Regarding the old play area, re-blast them and get them powder coated on island. It's no brains. That's 9238. I was recently in Nobles Hospital with heart problems. I was horrified to find DNR on my notes without my family's permission. Luckily, another doctor sent me to the UK and I survived. Doctor playing God, maybe. Won't give my name because I don't want to be identified, says 6-7. But DNR means do not resuscitate. Basically, wave goodbye, let go. And this has come up many, many times about DNRs being used. And if you have any information on this, not just this person, but anybody else, then please do get in touch. Civil servants are the experts and not a short-lived minister, says 490. Well, that's just one sentence. If you'd like to tell me a bit more about that, 490. Obviously, a minister may be an expert. And really, is it for the civil servants and the ministers to work together? And remember, the minister is democratically elected by the people. They're there as representatives of the people. So surely it's the civil servants and the elected representatives' job to work it out amongst themselves and perhaps not leave the public in the dark. There are so many, Marie, this is, there are so many incompetent departments within, this is Marie's words, by the way, within government. The problem is their jobs are protected. It should be like in the private sector. If their work is not up to standard, they should be removed, not sidelined to another department, removed, says Marie. Um, Douglas Council removed the equipment because it was so damaged by Storm Barra that it was unsafe. Why would it be reinstated when it's at the risk of the same thing happening again unless there are adequate sea defences? Thank you, James. Good to hear from you. But the fact is, James, who's speaking on behalf of the children? All the children couldn't care less how it went. They just know that their playground isn't there anymore. So they're not the people that make rational decisions. They're emotional. First of all, there was a playground, then there isn't a playground. And if you're going to provide a playground, then provide a playground. And if it can't be there, why not put it somewhere else? Quickly. Expediently. I think it's Diane with us now. Hi, Diane.
Hello, how are you?
Well, very well, thanks for calling.
Good. I'm afraid I'm on the same subject.
Go on.
About the play area.
Yeah.
Sunken gardens. Well, I just don't understand why they can't just put the normal things like a swing, a slide, and the other things that you usually find in a playground.
Yeah.
I did, when I spoke to Douglas Borough Council about this, and I said this, you know, he said, oh, no. He said that children don't want those things anymore. I said, pardon? He said, oh, no, they don't want a swing, a slide, and that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, which I thought was ridiculous.
What do they want then?
Well, he said, oh, we want to do something a little bit different. I said, but those children just want, little children just want. Well, he said, oh, no, nowadays, he said, that's something they wouldn't be interested in.
Well, what was he proposing?
Well, I don't know. This is when it was going to be this ship. I don't know whether that's still on the cards.
No, it's not. It's gone.
Oh, thank God. I mean, that's not suitable for little children. I just don't understand it at all. I mean, I remember it when they had the little lake thing in the garden.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. And I think there must have been swing and slides then. But all this money. And just put the things there, and you know, at least there's something.
Well, the thing is that from I'm trying to think, from Summerland to the sea terminal, what is there for children? What is there for children?
I don't think there's anything until you actually got to the play. I mean, it was very popular in my day. I keep saying these sort of things in my day, but I can remember lots of children being in there and having a lovely time.
Yeah.
But they could keep wanting to spend zillions, billions on these, seems to be ridiculous ideas. And I'm glad it's fallen through, because I don't think it would have been appropriate.
Right, okay.
Well, I think it would have caused trouble and, you know.
Yeah. Well, the ship has sailed, Diane.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
And they're wanting to do this skate park in the other smaller garden, which, again, I don't think is appropriate.
Well, that's not happening either.
Oh, thank God. As I said to Douglas Borough Council, there's one in Onken and there's a skate thing in Nobles Park. And his comment was, oh, well, they don't want to walk anymore, do they? I said, I have no idea.
Okay. Diane?
But that's my opinion anyway. Thank you very much.
Good to hear from
you.
All right, cheers now.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
I love to drive.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors. Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
5-1, Critchen Badger dropped a note in to say Moorock Park's completely dog-free. Not just the children's play area, so it makes it impossible for dog owners to enjoy the main park. At Moorock Silverdale, Polson Park, all allow dogs except in the play areas. Pat on the back for Ramsey commissioners. Not until they allow dogs. Says, however, some people moan about Polson Park and the fact that, you know what I'm going to say, the irresponsible dog owners don't, well, you get the picture. Thank you, Sheila, who just said when there was poor internet coverage during TT, you gave out some numbers. My internet coverage is still a bit ropey. Well, contact Max Telecom if you're with Max Telecom. 624-624 is the customer support team at Max Telecom. Or if you're in Douglas, nip into the store and chat to them there. Or if you go to maxtelecom.com, I think it is, /support. If your internet isn't what it is, it used to be, and you're with Max Telecom. Tomorrow is the time. Thank you, Ronnie. When is that thing, Andreas? It's tomorrow, Wednesday, the 10th of June, Andreas Parish Hall, 10 till 7, 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. It's a public consultation. We don't have to speak. You can just go and look. It's for this private development at Andreas Airfield. They want to put an anaerobic digester. They'll tell you all about it. Growing special crops for the anaerobic digester, and also putting up some solar panels to go. It's a renewable energy scheme for the north of the Isle of Anyway. It's tomorrow, Andreas Parish Hall, from 10 through till 7, and they'd like to see you there. And a message in from Brian, who said, what has happened to the TT when we tell somebody off for doing a donut on the promenade? It used to be what the TT was all about. Bikers coming to the Isle of Man because they feel at home and they can have some fun. 762, regarding the doctors and their industrial action ballot on Friday. I agree the doctors need decent pay, but I don't agree with them going on strike. They're on reasonable pay as it is. The doctors have only had a recent pay rise, says 696, to £120,000 a year. How much money do they think Manx people have? And that's it. Going to be back tomorrow with another open line. Call 66 13 68 tomorrow. Text, email and WhatsApp. The answer phone's always on, 682 631. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT.